This is Ozarks at Large. Friday night, the original play Sundown Town begins a run at Nadine Baum Studios in Fayetteville. The Theater Squared production, written by Kevin Cohey, concentrates on a small fictional town in 1918 Arkansas. The title refers to towns where people of color were not welcome at certain places or at certain times, or simply not welcome at all. Last month, the playwright, the director of the show, and others participated in a panel discussion about Sundown Town at the Fayetteville Public Library. Charles Robinson, the Vice Provost for Diversity at the University of Arkansas and a historian, was also part of the panel, and he offered some history behind the term Sundown Town.
Just because you didn't have a law or a sign didn't mean that it was any different than a place that did. And I think sometimes we may put a little bit too much emphasis on whether or not the town actually stated its opposition to people of color, as opposed to already having that reputation, so it didn't have to state it. People knew, and it was passed on from word of mouth. People in the African-American community knew where they could be in a given town at a particular time or where they could not be. So the notion of a sundown town, the first time I ever heard about it, was probably in graduate school someplace, sometime, didn't shock me. As a matter of fact, I was more amazed that more towns weren't sundown towns, because my assumption was that that was just kind of common, that you just assumed that there were towns in various states, particularly in the South and the Midwest, where African Americans were not welcomed. And if they were welcomed in the town, there were parts of the town where they were not welcomed. So I guess I'm a little bit less overwhelmed or amazed at the notion of a sundown town. I see it as just another reflection of Jim Crow at work, limiting the opportunities and the space for people of color within particular communities.
And I suppose sundown town could even be a misnomer. Sure. It wouldn't have to be after dark. No. Where you were not.
No, welcome. It just means you're not welcome. I mean, fundamentally, that's what it means. And we don't want you either living here or perceiving to be a person who is part of this community. And it may be that even in those sundown towns, there were people who were African-American, but they could be vouched for by whites who had prominence and therefore they were okay. Because you always found those exceptions to Jim Crow rules throughout the era, that there's nothing absolute about Jim Crow. I mean, absolutely nothing. I guess that's the only thing that's absolute. That nothing is absolute. People who were defined as people of color, African-American, Negro, however they were defined, could still be found on the side of the pendulum that you wouldn't quite expect.
Kevin Cohey, when you're writing a character who is not of your background, not of your race, not of your gender, who lived 100 years before you did, how do you know when you've got it right?
You don't. You've never got it right. I mean, I can rewrite this thing every day for the next 16 years. I guess you really know when, and again, you don't know when you've got it right until somebody goes, "That's good enough, guy."
This month's run of Sundown Town is the world premiere of the finished play, though the script in progress has had readings and stagings both in Fayetteville and outside of the area. Theater Squared's artistic director Robert Ford and the director of the play, Kevin Fox, discuss the conversations that the play has already started during its development.
I just want to say that one of the most exciting theatrical experiences in my life has been to go to the Southern Writers Project, which is a kind of the equivalent of the Arkansas New Play Festival in Alabama, at the Alabama Shakespeare Festival. And I've worked on a couple of plays there. And in the talk back at the Alabama Shakespeare Festival, we have there's a theater that seats about 200. And at several of the talk backs, literally, there have been about 100 African Americans and about 100 white people. And we're looking at a play like this that addresses both experiences, and the talkbacks are electric. They're amazing. I've never seen the two sort of bubbles that we as white people sort of live in, the bubble of our kind of white experience, and I dare say it's then similar for African Americans. And there's a huge overlap in that bubble, but then there's also these areas of that bubble that are unknown to either community. And I can really only speak for myself as a white guy and a Yankee to boot, to hear the to encounter things like Jim Crow, which I didn't learn about even in college, and to be stumbling it over all over the place and be like, wow, that's crazy, you know. And then somebody like Charles to go, hello, this, you know, this is reality. And so this is a long-winded saying, a way of saying that one of the things that excites me about this play is that we get to hopefully have those two kind of life experiences bumping up into each other and make some discoveries. I know I certainly already have with in this play.
To your question about sort of the conversation starting after experiencing this play, I think one of the cool things that the story does is that it because an African American in their town reasonably is such a rare occurrence. They wouldn't tend to come in there because they're not welcome there. Because it's such a rare occurrence, many people in the play are forced to, in that moment, begin to have the conversation, to evaluate for themselves how they feel about this. And in fact, one of the characters is extremely open-minded, and the extent of how open-minded he is very, very challenged during the course of the play. Because we see the moment where people are forced to make their own decisions and to begin to have a conversation about how they, wow, I haven't really thought about how I feel about African American people. Most of the people in this town haven't really thought about it. And I think that, my hope is that when an audience of white, if, you know, if there are white folks in the audience and they see this story, that they will see some of themselves in the characters on the stage and see, This is a reasonable white person with a really good heart, and they have complete blinders about this particular subject. And the play doesn't portray all the white people as being ridiculous and closed-minded people at all. That's why I hope it can start conversations.
The final question I asked members of the panel that night was how much they had learned about Jim Crow in public school. Here are responses from Bob Ford, the artistic director of Theater Squared, Kevin Fox, the director of the play, Kevin Cohee, the playwright, historian Charles Robinson, the vice provost for diversity at the University of Arkansas, and Brian Embry from the band Three Penny Acre. The band also appears in the play.
The only learning that I had about that was watching TV in the 60s and hearing Dr. King speak, and I learned absolutely nothing in school.
Kevin Fox?
I'm from Asheville, North Carolina, and I think we had maybe one African American guy in my class, and I remember Jim Crow just being like a couple paragraphs in a book and a single test question. That was my exposure until I went to Chicago.
Kevin Cohee?
Mine was pretty similar. I remember studying Jim Crow in school, but again, one unit on, whatever. We had one biracial kid in our class, and he was the coolest thing going. Isaac was awesome. Everybody wanted to be buddies with Isaac. We loved Isaac. And he was the only biracial kid we had in my class, and he was only there for a few years. And then my senior year, we got three Hispanic kids, so that made the news,
Charles?
I came of age in the early 70s, and my classes were much like my classes that have been expressed. There was very little formal discussion of Jim Crow. But to be honest with you, I knew about Jim Crow before I ever went to school. I knew about the fundamental attitudes that shaped the Jim Crow period before I ever walked out the door to go to kindergarten. I had a sense that there were differences between blacks and whites, and those differences usually didn't come out well for people of color.
Brian?
I would definitely say that it was in certain aspects of my education, and I had a debate instructor that was very adamant about being very global and understanding. And as debaters, we were kind of outcast anyways. But one of the things that's most interesting to me, going back to what I said earlier about growing up in Tulsa, when you grow up in Oklahoma, you have to take a half a semester of Oklahoma history. And in that half a semester of Oklahoma history, they did not write about the Tulsa race riot. And so, you know, that's maybe an example for me where, you know, obviously, you know, this was in, you know, the late 80s and 90s, and so there was a conversation going on. But more acutely, locally, it was almost as if this is something that's happened nationally. But here in Oklahoma, we don't worry about that. You know, we haven't had to deal with that issue. And so that's something that's been, you know, interesting to me.
Comments from a panel discussion centered around the play Sundown Town, held last month at the Fayetteville Public Library. The play Sundown Town opens Friday night, and the run continues through February 20th. For more information, you can go to theater2.org. That's theater2.org. The final night of the run, Threepenny Acre will perform a concert in front of the set. Tickets for that performance are sold separately, but can also be purchased through Walton Arts Center's website. And also that night during the panel discussion, two of the actors in the production, Haley Mayo and Alex West, performed an excerpt from the play. You can hear that this Sunday morning on Weekend Ozarks at Large. That's Weekend Ozarks at Large, Sunday morning at 9 on KUAF 91.3 FM.